Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Says Chinay Igumike. And we have, and going into All-Star Weekend, it feels like James Harden is finally getting his flowers. But who else as we look towards this weekend? Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Igumike, two-time WNBA All-Star as well. So used to the kind of festivities that come around these weekends. Chinay, you mentioned before, like, it's in a normal year. We know this year is very different in a lot of ways. But in a normal year, there are a lot of reasons to be excited about being this weekend. Your first All-Star game as a WNBA member. How exciting was that for you?
I was a rookie, and to be able to play with the best of the best, it was just one of those dream come trues. And life comes at you fast in the WNBA. You finish your NCAA season, 2 weeks later you're in the WNBA training camp, and then to be an All-Star was one of my favorite years ever. 2014, baby.
2014. So there we go. An exciting experience to be involved in here. And so getting ready to go down in Atlanta this weekend. Coverage begins at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio for the NBA All-Star Game. And we got a lot of exciting stuff there. And to talk about this year's All-Star Game and the experience of trying to do this in the middle of a pandemic, we're heading out to the Goodyear Hotline right now where we're joined by Orlando Magic All-Star Center Nikola Vucevic with us here, two-time NBA All-Star, going to be participating in the skills contest again this year. Nikola, we appreciate the time, and for you, what's this experience like? We heard so many players talking about having issues with the All-Star game even happening this year with everything going on. What was your reaction when you found out you were going to be an All-Star this year?
Well, when I found out I was going to be an All-Star, obviously, huge honor for me. I think this year was, especially in the Eastern Conference, there was many players that, you know, deserved to make it. And that was, you know, very humbling for me that the coaches, you know, chose me to be one of the reserves. So huge honor, like I said, very excited to be part of it. So as far as the All-Star itself, I mean, I can understand both sides. You know, the players, I think this season has been pretty, you know, crazy with, you know, the schedule being condensed and all the protocols and stuff. And then, you know, teams that played, you know, late into September, October, you know, to pick up right away and not have that break that we're looking forward to. But at the same time, you know, I understand the NBA's reasoning. I think, you know, you give the fans, you know, a big show, which fans, you know, love. I mean, the All-Star weekend or this year just the All-Star night, you know, it's a huge part of the NBA. Fans love it. It gets a lot of viewers. No, unfortunately, we won't have many fans in the arena, but still, you know, I'm sure a lot of people around the world will follow it. And also, you know, the NBA is going to have, you know, a lot of things going on where, you know, a lot of money and a lot of awareness will be raised for a great social stuff. So I think it's a lot of good stuff going on. I'm sure the NBA is going to do a great job with it.
You're right, Vooch. It's funny because you said All-Star Weekend. We're still trying to transition to All-Star Night because it's all crammed into one night. Two-time NBA All-Star Nikola Vucevic of the Orlando Magic joining us here on Chinay and Golic Jr., a member of Team Durant and Vooch. I think the last time I saw you, I was at your practice facility, and we're really excited to see you back in the NBA All-Star game. But more importantly, you're also a part of the skills contest. Are you ready for it? Out for a little bit of redemption? What made you want to sign up for that as well?
Well, I had fun the first time I did. Also, I lost in the first round. I still had fun. I mean, you grew up, and, you know, a lot of times for kids, the skills challenge, the three-point shot or the dunk contest, before they had, like, the all-star shooting when they had, like, current players, WNBA players, and one, like retired player doing it. So all those games were always fun for me to watch. And so, you know, I'm obviously not going to be in a dunk contest. I thought I might have a chance at three-point contest this year since I'm shooting way more threes. But you know, so I didn't make that. So the only thing left was the skills. But I think it's just fun to be part of. You know, it's a huge experience to be part of the All-Star game. So the NBA asked me if I wanted to do it. And so I was like, yeah, let me try another time, see if at least I can get, you know, through one round this time.
Well, and you mentioned the Skills Challenge participants are going to represent HBCU schools and students from a selected state. The winning Skills Challenge participant is going to earn an additional $40,000 to assist with critical financial support to HBCU schools and students from their selected state. And you mentioned you lose in the first round last year. No shame in that. But Nikola Jokic, what is it like for you guys? Is there an added bit of pressure representing for the big fellas in a skills contest like this?
I don't think he's in it this year, but when I lost 2 years ago, it was to him, which was funny because I know him, you know, well off the court, and like he'll still talk a little bit of trash about it, how, you know, he beat me in the skills challenge. unfortunately, I was looking forward to having him again maybe, and hopefully we'll get another chance to go at it. But yeah, he's not. But Luka will be in it. Sabonis will be in it. Chris Paul, Covington, and we got one more who's in it. But I mean, still, I mean, all great players. And, you know, last year, Bam Adebayo won. So hopefully, you know, this year, another big man can win, maybe me or Sabonis. It'll be great, you know, so show off how big men have become very, very skilled as of lately.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to put my little lobby in. You should have been in the three-point contest. I see what you've been able to do with the three-point shot, Vooch. Nikola Vucevic of the Orlando Magic joining us here. Two-time NBA All-Star on Chinea Golick Jr., Chinea Ogwumike, and Mike Golick Jr. We're talking about the NBA All-Star game. And we just had the NBA All-Star draft. What did you think about getting drafted to Team Kevin Durant? Can you tell me what that process is like, trying to find out where you're going to play, which guys are going to be your teammate?
So honestly, I had planned to watch it, and I totally forgot last night that it was on. And then I got a text saying I was with Team Durant. No, unfortunately, KD won't be there. He's missing the game. But, I mean, it's fun, the whole process I think they're doing when, you know, the draft players, I think it brings a more even balance to the teams. And, you know, it's a more competitive, you know, couple of last years before when it was still East and West. You know, the West was a little more dominating, so I think it'll be fun. It's just going to be fun to be all around all those guys. You know, players I don't necessarily really know much other than on the court. You know, I get to know them off a little bit off the court, spend some time with them, get to play with them, and just being among all the best players in the world, being on the same court with them, will be a huge honor for sure.
And Vooch, you know, now that we've covered a lot of the All-Star game, we're so excited to watch you represent on Sunday. Can you sort of take us behind the scenes of what it's been like, you know, dealing with last season, the shutdown, and now this season, and just the challenges that have been presented with playing, you know, now outside of the bubble?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was very difficult for us all. I mean, last year when the season went into, you know, shut down, and then we didn't know when we're going to begin, if we're going to finish the season again, how it's going to look and everything, but I think that, you know, the bubble that the NBA came up with was, I mean, an amazing idea, and it is an amazing job with it. I mean, first you had no positive cases in it, so that was most important, the safety of all players and all people involved. And then, I mean, just the organization of it all, to put all that together in just a few months. And it was proud to be part of that. I mean, the NBA really kind of set the bar for all the sports to follow, and they did. And so it was, I think we'll all look back at it and be like, we're part of that, and something to look, you know, back at. And but I think also, you know, take a moment to thank all the people that were involved, you know, the Disney people that worked there, all the NBA people that went there and, you know, left their families for months just to be there and support the bubble and make it work. So that was just, I think, I mean, we're great. Obviously, you know, we prefer to play the way it is now, you know, regular way, although it is very limited because we don't have fans and everything, but it's just, I mean, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's unfortunate the world is in the situation we are with this COVID virus, but hopefully things will get back to normal soon, and we'll have, you know, people in stands, and because it's a huge part of what we do. I mean, you know, when you play and there's, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people there, it just changes everything. It's, you feed off their energy, you might start a game off a little sluggish, and you make one big play, everybody goes crazy. You feed off of it. You play or on the road. You know, you sound like the whole crowd if you hit a big shot or something. I think it's hard to explain. So hopefully we can get back to that. But even now, I mean, the NBA with all the protocols and everything, to be able to have the games keep going, and, you know, with all the traveling and everything, I mean, it's a very hard thing to do. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, the NBA has done a great job. And I think also the players, you know, us, we've been trying to follow the protocols and, you know, stay safe and continue to do what we do at a high level.
And certainly a lot to balance there, as you mentioned, but everyone working very hard to make it happen. Vooch, we're really excited to watch you this weekend. Best of luck in the skills contest and the All-Star game, and hopefully
Yes. We'll
talk to you during the back half of the season.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Two-time NBA All-Star Nikola Vucevic, Orlando Magic Center, with us here on the Goodyear Hotline there. And, Chinea, I have to imagine the biggest relief in the world, even if you're not watching it live. He said he forgot to watch the All-Star draft. He meant to. Just getting that text and finding out that you weren't picked last has to be such a huge relief.
For sure. And the reason why he's not picked last, this man is a bucket. I know we don't talk a lot about the Orlando Magic, but Nikola Vucevic is a bucket. Like, the way we talk about Joel Embiid at times, this is how dominant he has been for the Orlando team. It just is, he needs more help.
He does a little bit. They need to help him out. Vucci Man LaFleur down in Orlando.
Hey.
I really think that's got legs. And especially on a day where we're talking about so much lemon pepper, it seems only right that we would get that.
So that's what Giannis was eating yesterday. Okay, that makes sense.
All right, coming up next, we got the NBA All-Star Game coming up again. Coverage starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio for that. But today... today we have got yet another mock draft. Todd McShay gets back into the ring with mock draft 3.0. Another familiar trend and pattern on display with the quarterbacks. Why the order matters as much as anything in telling us where the NFL is and probably where it's going for good. That's next. Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hope every one of you listening to us right now, everyone tuning into Chanay and Golic Jr., has someone in your life that makes you feel as good about yourself as Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, makes literally everyone on our staff. Like, Chanay, we've been sitting around here and everyone is just buzzing. Travis, who's helping produce with us today, is literally geeked with anticipation just to answer the phone and talk to Marcus for a minute before he comes on air.
He's one of those people that is the same when you see him on NFL Live producing just straight GIFs and memes 24/7. Same person on and off the air, and we love him. That's our big guy. That's my uncle, because your uncle is Dan Orlovsky, obviously.
I don't know what you mean is so obvious about that situation in comparison. Would you like to explain?
No. I just thought it was because you said you call him Uncle Dan all the time. So I always call him Uncle, Spears. So.
That's a fair point. Uncle Spears going to join us in about 10 minutes. And I saw today on NFL Live, very hot and bothered about one prospect that he thinks everyone is going a little bit too far with in this upcoming NFL draft. Because we had another mock drop today, Chanay. I don't know if you saw this. Todd McShay, our ESPN draft analyst, along with Mel Kiper Jr., dropped mock draft 3.0 today. And we know they've introduced trades into this thing. Everything gets a little wild. So, Chanay, you ready for the results of this latest mock draft?
Let's go! I'm ready for this.
I love that Chanay has dove right into mock draft world with us around here.
I already have it listed out in my questions for you, so come on now.
All right, here we go. So, Todd McShay, because right now we're all still in the mode where we're just digesting quarterback stuff at this point. So Todd McShay's got it shaken out like this. Number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. No surprise there. Trevor Lawrence. Number two, he's got the Jets staying put, not trading the pick and drafting Zach Wilson out of BYU. He goes the Panthers at three, taking Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State. The Atlanta Falcons sitting at four are going to take Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. And at number nine, Mac Jones. The 49ers trading up with the Denver Jones. Mac Jones. That's the interesting part, Chanay. So we've got, again, much like Mel Kiper, five quarterbacks from this year taken in the top nine of the NFL draft, which is insane and I don't think is going to happen, but is emblematic of how high we all are right now in all these different quarterback prospects.
Okay, let's dive into this. Let's start with Mac Jones, Alabama, because we had a good laugh yesterday as we kept that same energy because a lot of people pick him and favor him, including his former teammates over Tua Tagovailoa, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Can you tell me why, Mac Jones being at that nine position, when you look at this batch of five quarterbacks, why his lack of maybe being as dynamic as the others is sort of putting him below the rest?
And why that's such an interesting thing in its own right, Chanay. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, said on NFL Live the other week, if this is a decade ago, we're having this conversation, Mac Jones is being talked about as the number one overall pick. He is every bit of the pocket passer from the years of old that we used to value above all else. Mobile quarterback, that used to be a four-letter word for a lot of people in the NFL. The stock line was, well, he's going to have to learn how to do something from the pocket. And now, based on looking at this list, because make no mistake, Trevor Lawrence, I think, might be the best runner of the draft at the quarterback spot, the one I trust the most with the ball in his hands. Zach Wilson, unbelievably slick with his feet. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, both really smooth monsters in their own right with that. And then you get to Mac Jones, who, I mean, is like Tom Brady-esque cinder blocks tied to his foot compared to the rest of these guys. And I think it's just an amazing study, Chanay, of where we are in the modern NFL now, where because you don't have that ability to account for an extra defender, to make a guy missed if you get a free runner going towards you on offense. You're now looked at as someone who people have to account for and kind of cover up that with in their offense in the modern NFL.
And this is exactly what Todd McShay said. He said, Jones doesn't have the rushing ability of the other four quarterbacks, but he processes quickly. He has excellent ball placement on short to immediate intermediate throws and shows the ability to anticipate. He'd mesh nicely, and this is where we have the chaos in a trade with the San Francisco 49ers. Quick game and could bring more balance to an offense that has run on the sixth highest percentage of plays in the NFL since Kyle Shanahan took over in 2017. Again, nine Mac Jones, 49ers through a trade to Denver. I have a couple more questions. Are you ready, Junior?
I am ready for those. And by the way, I do just love that everyone always says, like, you know, he'd be a great fit. Spoiler alert, all these quarterbacks would be great fits for the 49ers because that offense is awesome and because Kyle Shanahan's the best play caller in the NFL.
That helps. That's a soft landing spot. But when we look at number one, no questions there. Trevor Lawrence makes sense. Number two, Zach Wilson. This makes sense in Todd McShay's draft just because we, as a show, Janane Gold Jr., you talk about it all the time. Pairing new coach with new quarterback Zach Wilson will be a nice fresh start, right?
Absolutely.
Three, Justin Fields in a trade to Carolina. And I think this is interesting because if you think about the Carolina conversations we had in the NFL offseason, wasn't it them betting everybody and their mama and the whole house, potentially shooting their shot for Deshaun Watson? So my question is, do you think a cheaper option getting a rookie quarterback is actually better for the Panthers?
No. I think Deshaun Watson is always the best option. If you're a team, Chiné, that can get
including
Deshaun
McCaffrey?
Watson. Including McCaffrey, yes. Chiné, there is no limit to the things on that roster for the Carolina that I would give up if it meant me actually having a legitimate chance. Because remember, Deshaun Watson, Texans quarterback, has a no-trade clause, so he controls the output on this. But if Houston and Deshaun somehow were able to accept your offer, Chiné, you've got a bona fide to build around the most important spot for the next decade plus. And I just feel like as great as I think Justin Fields is, and probably as under-talked about right now as any of the great quarterbacks in this class, I have a feeling in the next 8 weeks we'll have plenty of Justin Fields celebration coming up. I still think 10 out of 10 times Deshaun Watson would be the pick regardless of the price tag.
Yeah, that makes sense. Still hurts my feelings, but it makes sense.
Understand. Listen, I understand in that spot
but
here.
But I'm all free Bradley Beal, free Deshaun, so.
Honestly, get him the hell out of there. The number one message and the number one tagline on everything related to the NFL, the draft, all has to come back to free Deshaun Watson. Get him the hell out of that situation, regardless of what a mock draft says about who is going where.
If you don't free Deshaun, you're a bad John.
You're a bad John. My
too bad Cliff is in here.
I was going to say we don't have our quite full complement of Philadelphia that we're used to. We figured out ESPN Radio as a department at this company might have the most per capita Philadelphia residents of any department at ESPN. And I don't even think it's close.
Yep.
And so at some point we are going to tailor make segments specifically for the city of Philadelphia that we talk about here as Cliff comes over right now to shake his head at us. Apparently,
oh, no.
This entire segment is a bad John, according to Cliff.
That's a bad John, right? Chiné, a bad John?
If you don't free Deshaun, you're a bad John. You're a bad John.
A super bad John? Like a J-O-H-N John. John?
No, I'm trying to do like J-A-W-N.
You still can't pronounce it right, though. You've been too West Coast for
a
minute.
If you had to come out of nowhere, I am too West Coast. I'm from the dirty South, baby. I don't know what y'all East Coast
do. No, you're not. You're from Tomball, Texas. Stop it.
First of all, calm down. We get knuck and buck down there, too, okay?
All right.
I appreciate so much that Cliff not even working on our show today and comes out of nowhere just to make sure he dunks on Chiné not being able to accurately pronounce.
That's the only
pronounce.
Way he can do it. He can't do it in real life, so it's okay.
Ooh, shots fired on that. All right, coming up next, as we continue to dive into mock draft season, the one prospect that our friend Marcus Spears looks at and says, nah, fam, we are doing too much. That's next after this word from Body Armor.
Ah, it is me, Chiné the Stallion, on deck. And let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. My fitness goal is to be a WNBA All-Star and win a WNBA championship. Junior's fitness goal is to do a headstand longer than 30 seconds, but he told us he could do it a minute. So maybe his goal should just be able to do a headstand for a minute. You can do it, Junior. Body Armor Lite is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like your girl, Chiné Ogwumike, Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, and Dustin Johnson use Body Armor Lite to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. You can learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. My uncle, I'm sorry, our uncle Marcus Spears in the building. Listen. And the NFL draft prospect that we really need to be talking about, he will tell us exactly who that is. That's right after this on Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us subscribe on ESPN Plus.
Chenangle and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenangle Igwumike. And I wish you guys could have seen what happened just now in studio. We mentioned there are very few people that light up our entire staff quite like our next guest, ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears. You can catch him on NFL Live as a part of that great crew for Eastern every day on ESPN. And Travis, who is helping produce our show today, answers the phone, and he's just beaming right now because Marcus comes in, and Marcus, I feel like there is no one at this company that makes other people feel cooler just by addressing them than you do. So just know you made Travis's entire day just now.
Travis, my guy, I had to get on him one day, tell him to have some juice when we talking about coming on previous to me talking to you and Chenangle. But, man, that's my guy, man. He hit me up. He's like, hey, man, you got time for Golic and Chenangle today? I'm like, always. Let's do it. So, man, I will say this. When people hear us, this is the end result. It's a lot of people trying to get this thing to take off. So, Travis, one of them.
Absolutely. Got a lot of great people behind the scenes that are making all of this go, and it helps get to a point where, I can say he is. He's beaming right now, as is our entire staff, as we're talking to Marcus Spears with us now. And Marcus, normally we do have a ton of fun when we have you on, and we want to have that here going forward, but we do have to ask. Your alma mater, LSU, was the subject of a big-time investigation by a law firm today, investigating instances of sexual impropriety and misconduct and these things not being properly reported. From what you've seen of the reports involving Les Miles and others in there now, what do you think your alma mater has to do here to get back on the straight and narrow, to get back on the right path?
Well, the first thing is transparency. That's number one. And then the second thing is when you have situations like this that arise and so many things are filtering off of it as we find out information about trying to seal the investigation report and then this coming out and Les Miles and the inappropriate things that he was doing, accused of doing. But, you know, after I read that article, I was like, sounds like a creep to me. And y'all know me. I'm no hoes bar. I don't give a damn if it's LSU. If it's my house, when something wrong is wrong. And all signs point to this situation being handled poorly. It looks like Les Miles is not the guy that people thought he was based on these accusations and the things that were investigated and tried to keep locked away and sealed. I can't speak to certain details because I don't understand them by reading the article when you get into legality and all of that. But the bottom line is when you see a report like that, whether it's – and it's my alma mater, so, yeah, it matters to me. But y'all know me. It's just like anybody else. I'm going to say what it needs – I'm going to say what I feel needs to be said and give an opinion about it. Les Miles looks like a creep, and LSU handled this as poorly as anybody. And if something was covered up, LSU need to be held responsible to the fullest extent. And two, I think it's important for people to understand that new positions, new things have transpired. So don't just look at LSU right now with the people that's in control and think this is not the same folks in 2013 when this first initially was investigated and reported. So that is what I have to say about that. But y'all know me. It ain't no hoes bar because it's LSU. When you're wrong, you're wrong.
Absolutely. I'm 100% agree, Marcus. When you love something that much, you want to see it held accountable and want to see it do right. And transparency is a great note to hit on there. As former LSU defensive lineman, NFL defensive lineman Marcus Spears, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, switching gears to what you were doing earlier today, you're a great part of NFL Live. And I saw you guys having a debate with Todd McShay and Jeff Saturday about Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida, that's been one of the most talked about prospects in this draft right now. What consensus did you guys walk away from right now? Because I saw Jeff Saturday was pretty hot and bothered with how highly we're talking about a tight end in this draft.
You're talking about Jeff Tuesday, because anytime he come with those old man boring Don't want to be excited about the tight end position changing or some other position. I call him Jeff Tuesday. Tuesday is the most boring day of the week. I don't care what nobody says. Monday, I'm excited to get back to work. Tuesday, I've been reminded on Monday that I'm tired as hell. I don't feel like working. But here's the thing. Kyle Pitts is transcendent, man. Like, we've all seen the structure of drafts change, right? We've been having this conversation about running backs not having that type of value. And then things either affirm that or they say, look, see what happens. And you have all of these varying factors. When it comes to positions like tight end that are not normally thought of as top 10 type guys, or the league has changed. Like, you don't think a redo that Travis Kelce would go top 10? You're out of your mind. You don't think Waller would go top 10 for the Las Vegas Raiders? You're out of your mind. These are special circumstances. I'm not talking about tight ends that you put in and they pretty good inline blockers and they can catch a couple passes. Kyle Pitts could actually serve as your wide receiver if you needed him to on certain situations and in the red area. He just expands everything you can do from an offensive standpoint. Don't tell me about no damn blocking at the end of the line of scrimmage either. I know it's important, but people go get other tight ends to do that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had three. Okay, people find ways to get the inline tight end, or they bring in an extra offensive lineman to allow guys like Kyle Pitts to go be devastating against defenses on the second level. So I think it's warranted. I think he should be thought of as the best skilled guy in this draft based off what I've seen with my own two eyes. And we can't get caught up in the old tight ends don't go top 10. No, this is a special situation. This is a special circumstance. This is a different type of animal when it comes to what he can do to expand you from an offensive standpoint and make guys around him better by the attention that defenses will have to pay to him. So I disagree with Jeff. I understand where he's coming from. And you don't go above need to get Kyle Pitts. Like, if Penei Sewell is available and you need a tackle, you take the tackle. Obviously, you like hearing that, MG Junior. But the bottom line is, if you have the opportunity to go get a skilled player, and you have that luxury. I think McShay had him 3.0 to Philly, which Philly needs a lot of offensive line help, so that may change from a need standpoint. But just skill position-wise, Kyle Pitts is not technically a tight end. You could just say he's an offensive weapon.
As the kids would say today, he is built different. The great Marcus Spears, kind enough to join us here, make Travis's day and make all of our days every time he comes and hangs out. Marcus, we appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, talk to y'all soon. Peace.
Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, great part of NFL Live each and every day at 4 Eastern here on ESPN. Chenango Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Coming up next, the Ravens, as always, out in front when it comes to looking for what's new and what's next on the NFL rules front. I'll tell you two places that we can score easy wins for the NFL and everybody else, and all you got to do is say yes. We'll do that after this word from Indeed.
You know, Marcus Spears, he's a boss. I mean, he's a business with merch, right? And like with Marcus, if you need to be where the money resides, you need Indeed. If you listen to us, Chenango Jr., you're the real MVP, okay? You're rich, most valuable player. We handle our business here. And as a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Now, do you want to go beyond the resume? Choose from over 135 skills tests to challenge applicants on hard skills like computer proficiency or soft skills like customer service. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Here's a word you need to know next. Sky Judge. And no, I'm not talking about our higher power. Jesus Christ, nah. Sky Judge. We will explain what that is and who that is in the National Football League right after this on Chenea and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golick Jr., the podcast.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We've been talking about it today. I want to hear from you. The biggest surprise, the most impressive team from the first half of this NBA season right now. I think we got a few solid contenders in this spot, but want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Igwumike.
I'm starting to realize that I'm getting the shakes because we both had coffee for the first time in a long time. Oh. And I was like, oh, I've been okay. And then I just realized the whole first half of the show, or now 2 hours, I've been like tapping my foot. You know how like you just shake your foot 24/7? I was like, oh, that's the coffee, the caramel macchiato.
It's such a difference maker. We were talking about this because we are a show that wants to be balanced in so many ways. Chinay is a current WNBA player. She's training to get ready for a season. And so we're trying to get our bodies right around here. And every once in a while, we try and take that caffeine break. And if you can't tell by the way I'm talking, that break ended today. And boy, has it been satisfying. That first sip when you've taken a couple of days off from coffee is just an absolute rocket ship, Chinay.
Hits different.
It absolutely hits different. So speaking of things hitting different, I think we're at that point in the NFL offseason now. We're kind of getting ready for the draft stuff, but we also have people looking to retool and reconfigure some rules. And the Baltimore Ravens seem to always be the team that's on the forefront of this. They've proposed a couple of ideas that I think we need to stop and consider greatly. And so we're going to do it in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, the Baltimore Ravens, Chinay, who are one of the more forward-thinking teams in the NFL, super analytically driven, doing a lot of great things, they've proposed a couple of key ideas here for the NFL this upcoming season. You interested?
Yeah, oh, totally interested.
All right. Walk with me on this one first. We've got the Ravens proposing a change to overtime called the spot and choose rule. Essentially, the gist of this idea would be you get to overtime and the coin toss would determine one team gets to mark where the ball goes. So the yard line that the ball is on one end of the field. The other team then gets to choose based on that yard marker whether they want to play on offense or defense. Chinay, I think this would be a great bit of strategy induced into the game right now. So many people love complaining about overtime in sports is one of our favorite things in life to do. And I think this would give us some legitimate things to focus on here from a game strategy standpoint to make these teams earn that little extra bit and add some entertainment value. And that's okay because this is sports entertainment after all.
Agreed. And I think it will negate pretty much right the advantage that any team would get from winning the coin toss in overtime because that's a huge conversation point. But for those who might be confused, for example, if the Ravens are playing in overtime, they win the coin toss and elect to spot the ball at, say, their own 20-yard line, the opposing team would choose whether to start on offense or defense from that spot on the line. So it's going to be fun because it's chaos. It's like, all right, they're doubting our defense. Guess what? We can step up here or offense. So I think it's going to be one of those things that fans can sort of, I'm sure with the money, they'll wager on, but more importantly, it'll lean on the strengths and also the players and teams determining the outcome, not necessarily the luck of the coin toss.
I'm glad you brought up the gambling part of this. Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, because the other proposal I think has a lot to do with the NFL recognizing that gambling is something that is more and more a part of the conversation. The Ravens also proposed an eighth official, the Sky Judge, that we've heard floated for a while now. And people might remember the Alliance of American Football used a Sky Judge in that. They had a very transparent review booth process. And Chinay, I know some people will say the success of that was middling, but I just think more and more, when you look at now, the impetus and the importance of getting things right because there's so much gambling money that's becoming a more mainstream, acceptable part of the NFL viewing experience. And just in general, you know this, we've talked about officiating in the NBA today. Giving officials some backup and an extra set of eyes that are watching the game the same way the people at home are, to me, is only a net benefit. Why not give them some help instead of perceiving it as a slight?
You better preach, Pastor Golic Jr. You better preach, because this is the year we're talking, this is the week that we're talking about the NBA having real issues with their officials. And one of the big criticisms is sometimes slowing down the momentum with these reviews. Well, if you have the Sky Judge hovering above that can communicate with officials in the NFL, I think it would only be a value add so that they can make sure they see all the angles, or at least that person sees the angles and said, guess what? You are wrong here. And they trust that person, and the technology can make sure maybe even other eyes get on it. And then we move forward in a more efficient way. I think it'll be quicker than having stopping down and having those reviews.
It'll just be another added failsafe. A member of that team who's going to watch the game from the perspective of the people at home who sit around like me and get all hot and bothered on Twitter when officials mm-hmm. get calls wrong. So don't even think about it. Just say yes. These are only a net benefit for the NFL, yes. entertainment-wise and competition-wise.
I can see you doing that.
I'd be a great sky judge. But coming up next, we want you to be the judge. 888-729-3776. The most surprising team in the first half of the NBA season. Next.